Proverbs 24, 3 through 4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Afromasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Today, we are starting something. What is your life? We're starting something. What is your life? James chapter 4. And I believe that for the next couple of weeks, hopefully, we'll have some direction or get some landmarks as to what to do with the rest of our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you so very, very much for every blessing that we have. We are truly, truly grateful to be here this evening in your presence. Thank you so, so very much. In Jesus' name, amen. I mean, these days I don't preach for long because I find that there's no need. I can say all I can say in a very few words. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. There's no need to. When you're not sure what you are saying, then you talk plenty, trying to explain over and over again. But when you know what you are saying, just say it and there you go. So we'll be here briefly. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say. And just a comment, what Reverend William was saying about having a regard for the things of God is very important. And sometimes the simplicity of the gospel deceives us. There's a shrine in Bongo. Before you go there, you remove all your clothes. Oh yeah, I'm not aware. Bongo shrine. And do you know something? People go. Big men and everything. And you know, as you get there, there's a, you just park outside, enter the building. It's a cave. It's a cave in the hills. You remove. Can you go there? Ask anybody, can you go there? Remove everything. Do you understand? Remove everything. Or you leave some. No, no, no. It's a shrine. You remove everything. Then you go in there. You think you can wear panties and things? No, you remove everything, then you go in. And people come, big men, because there's a power, they believe there's a power there. You know. But because here you are wearing your everything, you don't mind, you don't think like that. You know, but it's a very important mind to have that as we come to God, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Anyway, let's go back to James chapter 4, verse 13. That was just a commercial break. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Isn't that our plan? Everybody wants to gain something. We want to buy a house, buy a car, buy a phone. Everybody. I mean, this is Mr. Man. How to get gain, how to profit, how to get increase and move forward in life. Someone promotion, someone something. Everybody wants gain. Amen. And that is what we desire. But then James explains something. He says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? And that is why we are here this evening. But what is your life? You know, and some questions as you ask and you answer, it is but a vapor. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. When you see a man who is 90 years old, you say he's old, oh, but this man, 90 years old, compared to Methuselah, he's young, he's a baby. I mean, compared to all the old people in the Bible, is not old. I mean, is young. Even among ordinary human beings. Right now, when you go to Korea and we go to Japan, we find that the average people are now in their 90s. Yeah, in their 90s. A lot of people are in their 90s, getting to 100. They have a problem of no workers. And now people who are 80 are still working because they are alive and their money is finished and they have to earn money. So they are forced to work. But all these which seem to be long time, they are still very short. I'll come to it very soon. Let me show you. Let's look at it. Genesis, you know, when God made man and Adam was given a wife, and then the wife had a child. Genesis chapter 5. Adam was 130 when he had his firstborn. Genesis 5, 3. No, not his third born. Third born. 130 when he had a son. So he had born Cain and Abel. Now he's born in Seth. 130. I mean, by that time, you are wanted to die and go. Yeah, you'd be very happy to die at 100 and go and rest in the Lord. But this is, and all the days of Adam, and he had, and that he was 930 years. I mean, you see, sometimes these figures are not real, or we don't see it as real. 900 years, is it possible? They just gloss over the Bible and they say, oh, this one there is a toli, but we toli with respect. Then we don't bother it much, you know, and then we live on, we just brush it aside. But what the Bible is saying is that a man, are you listening? A man has lived for 900 years. You know, and then to make it even more clear, he wasn't alone. Enos, Seth lived 807 years, and all his days were 912 years. And Enos, verse 9, Enos was 90 years when he had his first son, and he lived 800 and, you know, let's be honest, you don't believe it. Let's be honest. Or you don't think, I mean, you don't think it's real. No, I not. Or we should be, remember Sunday, so we stop lying. Remember that all those devilish behaviors, we have put it aside, you know. And when you look at this thing, remember that, let's be honest. You think that this, I mean, Enos was 905 years, 900 years. How is it possible? Even though we are talking about the Bible and God and who can do all things, yet still, we don't accept it as a target or what God has for us. But that is what the Bible is saying. And it goes on and on. Verse 13, Mahalalel. He lived 840 years. And at one point, he didn't try. He didn't reach 900. You know, he died early. 840 years. And then Jared, 830 years. And Mahalalel, 895 years. Verse 5:17. 895 years. And Jared, he had 162 before he born a child. You know, so we can see that human beings, by some grace, we can live long. Amen. We can live long. And I will tell you, in the beginning, this is God's original plan. But then the evil multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And then what happened was, chapter 6, the evil was too much. Evil was too much. And then verse 3. And then all said, nah, it's too much. My spirit will not always strive with men, for he is flesh. And yet his days shall be 120. So God, I mean, this is a strong reduction. It's a strong, I mean, I'm making a statement. From 900 to 120, I'm making a statement that people are not doing what I want. So God reduced it radically. Amen. And this this 120 crowd, we're not seeing top. You know, because there are still too much evil in the world. So God is like a radio. God is fine-tuning it. Then he tuned it further. Look at Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 9. It says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are now 70. That's 70. I mean, he has halved it from the 120 to 70. And then just to make it, to give us space, the others on 10 years be for with strength. So right now, 80 seems to be old. But 120, you know, let's make a distinction. The 120 is God. This 80, 90 is David who's giving a prophecy. So with strength and with good behavior and everything, you can go to 100. You don't think so. You don't think so. You can go to 100, you know. But even that 100, how much is it compared to the original plan? So that is why, back to James chapter 4, verse 14, that is why he says, verse 14, your life, it is like a vapor. When a child dies at 10, okay, if he's 80 and dies at 8, it's a disaster. It is a very, very, very big catastrophe. A child has died, 8 years old. I say, oh, but how? What a painful death. The mother, we are sorry for the mother, pa. It is very painful. So, what we have now, our lives are short. Amen. And then vanisheth away. It is gone. And so, this is why we are here this evening. He says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. That is the advice that James, the brother of Jesus, is giving us as to our lives. And he said, let us this evening come to an understanding that our lives are short. You know, our lives are short and anything can happen. And Jesus too, he adds a warning. John chapter 9, he adds a warning. He says, let us work while it is day, because night cometh when suddenly there you can't work again. And so you find people who are not yet 100. They are still 80 or 70 or 60 or whatever. But something has come into their life such that they are no longer able to do what they could have done. I want us to be very mindful of that thing, that reality. That today you are working, you are healthy, you are moving. Some of these things, like when you say it, as if you are wishing evil or wishing bad. But this is the reality of the life, that night can come. Amen. Night can come. Night can come in any shape or fashion. Lose your job, lose your house. So even traveling to another country can cause a change in your behavior. Do you know that? If you land in a place where everybody is drinking and smoking, before you are aware, you have joined the crowd to drink and smoke. If you land in a place where immorality is normal, before you are aware, you have become normal, normally immoral. Yeah, so there's so much that is dependent on us. Life is short. Amen. So maybe next week I'll take up that one a bit more. Life is short, you know. But listen to this. He says, whereas, verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Tonight, I want us to think of something. And it is this. You have a life that you have given. And many of us, we have, in verse 13, made our own plans and have our own idea about what we want to do with our lives. Many of us, as we are here, we are sitting down, okay, I will finish this, I'll do. Some of the boys over here finish their masters. Somebody's planning to do a PhD. Somebody's planning to travel. Somebody wants to open a business. So as we sit here, everybody has some kind of plan that they want to achieve. And James is saying that, let us reorient our minds. Amen. I didn't hear amen. Let us reorient our minds. Okay? And it is this. Lay aside your plans which you have made. And even the plans you have made, I don't know what it is based on. You know, because sometimes the plans you have made, they are based on the small world you have seen, the little you have been exposed to. There was a young boy, they asked him, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the boy said, headmaster. No, do you know why I said headmaster? Because in the village where he lives, the most important man is a headmaster. There's no lawyer, there's no doctor, there's nothing. Headmaster or police, that's the highest position in the village. So when they ask him, what job do you want to be? Headmaster. That is the biggest job he knows. So what you are exposed to will greatly influence what you become. You know, you will find recently during our crusade, I met some young boy there. I mean, I'd met different boys. Some of them, their English weren't good at all. It's not Englishable. It's just totally semi-literate or illiterate. And these guys, they're going to be tortoise drivers or pragya drivers. This is their future. You know. Then there was one young boy I met who was speaking polished English. And I said, yes. So he is going to be different. Everybody has a plan in their mind. Now this is their plan. Lay aside your plan. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. So the plan is, what does God want for you? Amen. What is God's plan and purpose for you? Hallelujah. Look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The plan of God for you and the plan for you. Okay. Okay, Hebrews 11. And when you go to Hebrews 11, which we all know, like I was saying earlier, there are some things that we read in the Bible, but somehow what is clearly there is not obvious to us. And because we read it over and over again, we miss the fact. But when you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you read about the men of faith, you will see one thing. You will see one thing. That most of them, these great men of faith, they are noted in the Bible for just one or two things that they did. That you will not find. Only Abraham, there's a bit of a detail of his life. But thereafter, for most of them, it's just that this is a Gideon. They just tell you one or two things that they did. Amen. So this evening, I want you to understand something. That very likely, most people who are significant. Let's take Kwame Nkrumah. Kwame Nkrumah, who lived, he was 90. How old was he when he died? He was quite old when he went to die in Romania or something. What did Nkrumah do? Akosombo and motorway. Yeah. That's all that they remember him. But he did much more than that. He did much more. He did GBC. He did so many other things. But when they remember Nkrumah, two things come up. Akosombo and motorway. When you remember Rawlings, what do you come up? Free press and light in the north. You know, almost every... Are you listening? Almost every person, when you are remembered for just one or two things. Even though you have lived a life and you have done so many other things, you have been alive for 80 years, 90 years, and every day you are alive, you have done something every day. And you have probably gone to school, finished school, had a work, worked here, moved here, done here, done here. I want to make it clear to most of us that it is just one or two things that you do that is important and significant for your life. Amen. David. I mean, if you think of David, King David, what comes to mind? He killed Goliath. David killed a lion and a bear, but that one you don't remember it. Have you killed a lion before? It's a very great thing. Have you killed a bear before? It's a very great thing. But it's not remembered. It's not the main thing he did. It is one of many. But when you are asking what did, even the fact that he survived Absalom is not even mentioned as a great thing that David did. All that he said is David killed Goliath and his throne is established. All the other thing, you know, and David too, his life is, by the grace of God, we have given a lot of detail in the First and Second Kings. First and Second Samuel, and then we have told a lot about him. All that you remember is Goliath and his throne. The point I want you to understand this evening is that when we are asking what is your life, what is the purpose of your life, it is very likely that you will do many things with your life. You will go to work, you may work at GBC, then go to work at Ghana Health Service, and go to Ghana Education Service. You can have various everything. All those are very nice. But there is maybe one, just one or two things that you really have to do to accomplish, and that will make a difference for you. That will be maybe the reason for your existence. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Yeah. Esther. I mean, the book of Esther is a book that's, it's a story we know quite well. So Mordecai one day met Haman and he didn't bow. Then Haman bore. Then he became very angry and he wanted to not only deal with Haman, but all the Jews out there. So he went to the king to make a petition that there's a people in your country who are not loyal to you. So let's get rid of them. And the king didn't know, but he trusted Haman. So he agreed. And then the voice and the message came to Mordecai. Then Mordecai, so now listen to the story. So Mordecai sent word to, so Esther was told that Mordecai was mourning at the city gates. So verse 6, Hatach went forward to Mordecai. Then verse 7, Mordecai told him of all that had happened and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay the king for the Jews to destroy them. Verse 8, and he gave him a copy of the writing. Then Hatach came, verse 9, and told Esther the words of Mordecai, that this is what, and then Esther told Haggai and gave the command that and all the king's servants and all those. And then Mordecai told Esther, go to the king to plead for us because we are about to be destroyed. Now look at verse 11 or verse 10. Then Esther spoke to Hath. And he said, verse 11, all the king's servants and all the people of the provinces do know, whatsoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called. That means you go to the king by yourself, who is not called. There's one law of his to put him to death, except the king stretch forth his golden scepter, and that he may live. Then she said, but I have not been called to the king these 30 days. So it's like, Charlie, right now, I have no favor or I have no assumption that I can just go in to the king like that. Now, Mordecai, so this is verse 30. And Mordecai said, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. And this is verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Then he makes a very important commitment. But who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this, that this one thing that you will do, this is why God has put you here. That's all. And because of Esther, they were able to save all the Jews. You know, just one thing. I want us here to consider that there are one or two important things that may be the reason for your life. There are just, you may be considering that I have a life of 70 years and I'm alive for all these days. It's true. And in those 70 years, you'll be doing many different things. It's true. And you'll be getting different jobs, going up and down, doing different things. It's true. It's true. But I want to tell you something. It is very likely that in all your life, there are only one or two things that you do that are important. All the rest is just cover. All the rest is just background music. I mean, David, all he did, Esther, all she did, all she went to in the palace, everything is just to be at a place where you can do just one or two things. Amen. So what does that mean? It means that, let me read the scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 9. God, you see, God has called you to a life. But in all likelihood, in this life, just one or two things that you will do are going to be the main reason why and your major contribution to the work of God in this world. Are you listening? Yes, just one or two things. And so, Bishop Dyke has done a lot of things, but maybe when you get to heaven, God will see that challenge. He has built churches, all the crusades, all the books. To him, the books are what he has done. But there is just one or two, and it's a general pattern. So it's for all of us. There's just one or two things that you have to do. And this is so if you are a goalkeeper, you are a goalkeeper in a football match, and you have some football matches, some teams, they can press, but they won't score. Oh, you don't know that thing? Yeah, they can press, I know a team like that. They can press, don't say it, you're a church. They can press, but they won't score. So while they are pressing, the goalkeeper is doing little or nothing. So they can press, and they won't score. And they end 0-0. So no scores. Now they are playing penalties. For 90 minutes, the goalkeeper didn't do much. He was just standing there. Now the time has come for him to do something. Just those 5 minutes. If in those 5 minutes he's useless, everything is cancelled. I hope you are listening. I'm trying to explain to you the fact that you are called likely in your life. Just one or two things. It's amazing that I've been alive for many, many years now. I've done many, many things. But have you noticed something? Every time I'm introduced, Patrick from Tamale, as if I've not done anything else. I left Tamale 16 years ago. I was there for 16 years. But everywhere, Patrick of Tamale, it's like, so all my life before and my life after doesn't matter. Do you understand? As if it doesn't matter. I mean, Kumasi, I've been Bantama for 16 years, even more than Tamale, but nobody calls Bantama. What I'm trying to explain to you is that everybody here, in all likelihood, there are just one or two things that you are called to do with your life that matter. All the other things are also part of your life. Yes, they're also part of your thing. Yes, but they are not significant. Hallelujah. So tonight, I'm giving you one or two keys. I don't know. It depends. One or two keys. Key number one is be aware that many things that you do don't matter or will not matter. Be aware that many things that you do don't matter or will not matter. The car you drive doesn't matter or will not matter. The phone you are using doesn't matter or will not matter. Did you finally get the TV 85? Somebody bought a TV 100 inches. It doesn't matter or will not matter. Those of you who are trying to get masters, you know I have a masters. Yeah, you don't know. Doesn't matter or will not matter. Did you have been alive all these years? The masters I have, do you know, I have a masters. I got it from Norway. I have never used it. I have that masters. It has never earned me one peso in my life. I rather have paid the investing money to support them. Since I got it, it has never opened the door for me. It's just on my CV there. Doesn't matter or will not matter. I hope you are listening. So one key is that I'm just trying to help you. The question is, what is your life? And the thing is, many things. So number one, I'm giving you points. Number one is, you are going to be only one or two things will be very important in your life. Only one or two things will be very important in your life. Number two, many things will not matter. Many things, they will just be nothing. Amen. Number three, point three. Because you don't know of the thing. Because the time that I was going, I didn't know it was going to be important. I just went because I was going some. So listen, because you don't know what is going to be important in your life. Or do you know? You don't know. You don't know whether your masters will matter or don't matter. You don't know what it is, what is going to be that major thing that will make a difference in your life. Amen? So, whatever you do, do it with all your strength. Whatever you do. Start 6 chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Amen. Why? Because if the Tamale that we had gone, as many have gone, many were there, I met many others. If we had not been serious, do you think that they'll be referring to Tamale? No. Because what we did there, we were serious. You know. So, whatever. And you see, sometimes we have not seen Tamale in those days. It was not an important place. It was a very remote place that nobody wanted. It's not a place where, like, let's go to America and do well and make a name for ourselves. Like the Tower of Babel, let's make a name for ourselves. No, we are forgotten. I mean, we were often forgotten. Thank God that Bishop Dag doesn't forget the faraway places. That's the only difference. He doesn't forget. But we're often forgotten. They will have meetings, then they've forgotten us. They say, oh, you are too far away to come. Who told them I'm too far away to come? But that's the decision. You are too far away, so just have the meeting and just continue without us. So what I'm saying is that because do you know your major calling? Because you don't know, whatever you are doing, especially for God, especially for God, because that is what matters, which is what Papa was saying, that to have compassion for the new converts and to in the church, it is the things of God that we are talking about, because all the other things, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What is your life? What is your life? The things you have to do for God, you don't know which one it is. Either to do a bus center, or you are doing choir, you don't know which one is key. So do it well with all your heart. I don't know whether I've said it well. I think today people didn't come to church to come and listen to well. No, they're not listening well. No, it's almost 8 o'clock and I'm finishing at 8 o'clock. Tonight, I don't know what the reason your calling is. Maybe we'll come to it next time. I don't know, but I know that in most people in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you are noted for one or two things. And so there is no need that I'm doing many things. It doesn't matter at all. But that one or two things, because that is all, that one or two things, that is all your years of 90 years will be measured. Do you know, when you see a man sitting under the tree who is a drunk, and he's not doing anything, as if his life is wasted. Do you understand that? As if his life is wasted. But this man, when you go into it, I met a young boy at the crusade ground. He was senior prefect at Apomasi, DHS. He was Richard. He was the senior prefect. So you may see a man who was once a senior prefect, once a director, once I had my own house, once you can have many, many things, but in the end, nothing is remembered. There's a man at Takoradi Market Square. Yeah, he is walking around. He's holding a picture of a young man with afro hair, leaning against a Mercedes Benz like this. Yeah, it's him. The young man with afro hair against a Mercedes Benz is him as a young man. He once had a Mercedes Benz, but as he has grown older, he has become almost like a madman walking the street, dirty and clothed. Right? You see, I'm just seeing that everything that you have that may seem important or significant, one day you find that it is all cancelled, not even remembered. A certain man was, I read it on the website. It's a woman. She said she is sitting in her house at her table, looking at her phone, hoping that it will ring and somebody will call her. Who are the somebody? Her children. Hoping that they will call her. She has children, but it has come to mean nothing. They've all scattered and gone. Yeah. I'm just saying this evening that you may do many things in your life, but many of them, goodness, they are non-scoring. Many of them will mean nothing in 20 years' time. Many of the things that we have or are doing in 20 years' time or 30 years' time, you say, oh, I once had an iPad, or I once had iPhone, they will say, what is iPad? It has finished. It's gone. Like, I once had a VHS in my house. What is VHS? It's disappeared and gone. I say, I once had something. What is it? I'm just saying that one day, all the things, something, somehow, your whole life may mean as if you are, as if you, so you, when you came to earth, what did you do? They will ask you, so you, you came to earth, you were alive for 92 years. What a waste! Because there's nothing that they can point out. And do you know why? Because the one or two things that you were supposed to do, you didn't do it well. The one or two things that you were supposed to do with your life, you didn't do it well. When God says, whatever, I say, right now, as you are sitting here, we don't know what the thing is. We don't know what you're supposed to do. We don't know our calling. If I had known Tamale was my calling, hey, I'll do it. Shavaya, let's go back again. Hey, I'll be even more serious. If I had known it was that serious, I'll be even more serious. But we, just that we are serious, that's all. We are serious. And we love God. So we did it. We did it well. That's our lucky break. What we are doing, do well. What I'm saying this, have I said it well? Have you understood my point? That I don't know what you are. You see, you are sitting here. I'm going to do business. I'm going to get a wife. I'm going to finish my master's. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to open my own pharmacy. I'm going to get a company. You have lined up many things. Maybe all those things will mean nothing in 20 years time. I'm saying maybe. Maybe all the things you are doing, the one thing that will matter is this is the guy who broke through and built a church at that party. Maybe. And then one day when we come to that party, there's a huge cathedral there. Hey, what a huge church. Oh, some man be who was passing here. He came here and he settled here. He built a church. That's all. What's his name? Oh, Michael something. I forgot his surname. Yeah. That's all. And you see, but to us, apparently, it's just a small branch. Doesn't exist yet. We don't know what it is that is going to be the main thing, Barbara. We don't know what it is. But I know that in your life, your young life, as you grow older, only one or two things will matter. Many things will not matter. Many, many things, they'll be forgotten. Oh, how many children do you have? Oh, no. As we are looking, how many children, do you know how many children, Benny Hinn, how many children has he got? Barack Obama, how many? We don't know how many children they have. We don't care. It will mean nothing in a while. It will mean nothing. What house you built? Recently in my area, I was just told that the Accra Kumasi Expressway is passing through our area. Hey, serious? Look, they have marked houses for demolition. Already, they have marked houses in that area for demolition. So I'm saying, look, somebody's house. Look. On the page, there's a page we have, there's a discussion that how can they do this thing? It's not, he said, look, don't say how. They began clearing from somewhere. They are coming. Is that this one, this project, they'll do it. Because Muhammad's heart is in it. They've talked about it, they can't do it. But you see, it's just showing that something that to somebody is important is about to be rubbished. Is about to be dismissed. And it is because we too, as we are sitting here, you don't know what is important. You don't know what your life, and you are doing so many things. You don't know what is important. But I'll tell you something. The things of God, it is because He is the judge. So He will judge His things. The things of God, do them well. Because it is one of those things. It is one of those things of God that will be marked as important in your life in some years to come. You have a car and so what? You have a house and so what? You got a job and so what? You had money. All those things. Look, do you know Mr. Bwachi? Bwachi Mattress. You don't know him. One of the millionaires in Ghana some years ago. Only one person knows his name. Bwachi Mattress, his child was in my school with me. rich. A certain man, Fayose, do you know him? One of the first S classes in that city. Rich. Oh, you don't know their names again. They've just disappeared into what? Into thin air. They've just disappeared. All the wealth they have today means nothing. Even when I call their name, only one person knows Bwachi address in this room. How is it possible? How is it possible? I mean, he was so rich. How is it possible? It tells you that your money can mean nothing in some time. But what will matter is the one or two things that you did, and you did well. Amen. What is your life tonight? What I'm saying is, what is your life? Your life is just one or two things that you did for God. So do it well. Do it with all your heart. Let it be. We don't know what it is. So what I'll say is, all the things, me, I'm just giving you general advice, because I know that the material things, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things. So I know that all those things that you hold in your hand, they are not it. It's a suspicion I have. All the things, because when you depart this world, a man will carry out nothing that he will hold in his hand. So my suspicion is, all things that are holdable, countable, quantifiable, don't matter much. That's my suspicion. And my suspicion is, it's the things that we do for God. The things that we do for God, those are the things which in the long run will count for something. So that one, what you do for God, do it well. Do it with all your strength. Placenta, and you see, it's amazing that Tamale was not a big church, and it is still very, very, very recognized in all our things. So it's not the size. It's not the size of these things, mind you. It is what you did for God with all your heart. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 112 75. God bless you.